You know, some people enjoy composing their own music, chord by chord, and others are happiest when they come across that one perfect song. Work is not a lot different than that. Whether you prefer building your own workflow or using a pre-made template, with Monday.com, you and the team can work in a way that's comfortable for everyone. Tap the banner to go to Monday.com and build your own amazing workflow, or find an awesome template. No judgment.
Hi, folks. Be sure to visit my webpage at dr-history.com for over 440 true stories of the Old West. Also, now available on Amazon, my first book, a historical fiction based on true events entitled Coal Miner to Cowboy. The story of a young man born in England in 1850. He wants to be a cowboy and makes his way to America, travels from New Orleans to Independence on a steamboat, hires on as a teamster to Santa Fe, then on a cattle drive to Bozeman, Montana. He also rides shotgun on a stagecoach. He travels with a wagon train, and on his two-year journey, he meets some famous people and keeps a journal of his adventures. The book contains a lot of the true stories from my podcast and is now available on Amazon. Visit my webpage for a link to Amazon for the book, Coal Miner to Cowboy.
And right now, without further ado, on the phone with us this morning, Dr. History.
Good morning, Jeb. How are you?
I'm good, buddy. It's been a long time. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great. I've missed the show and missed you.
Well, don't carry it too far. Listen, I'm going to ask you to speak directly into the mouthpiece and speak up just a little bit if you would, so we can make sure we can hear you okay.
I can do that.
All right. You were on a trip that I am absolutely envious about your location. You went to Israel and you went to Jerusalem, and boy, I just tell me about it. It had to be amazing.
Okay, I'll just go through it real quick. I can tell you this. We were in Egypt and Jordan, and I'll talk about that if we have time, but we drove up through the Jordan River Valley, which is a beautiful green valley, crops, banana trees, grapes, just beautiful, large, where the Jordan River Valley, where the Jordan River runs through. But we stopped at a place called Masada, which is a high plateau, kind of a place that Herod the Great built, but the Jews were up on top of there and they were being attacked by the Romans, and so the Jews committed a mass suicide, and kind of a somber place, kind of like when you and I have talked about the Custer battlefield.
Mm-hmm.
But from up on top of Masada, we could see the Dead Sea, which was much, much bigger than I had pictured. And we actually floated in the Dead Sea. You don't swim in it. You just float. But another town we went next to was called Qumran, and that's where the Dead Sea Scrolls were found. And we actually, in Jerusalem, were able to see some of the actual Dead Sea Scrolls.
Oh, my.
We got into Galilee, and we went out on a boat ride on the water, on the Sea of Galilee, and it was just smooth as glass. And we got out there on the water, and they turned the motor off, and we just sat there, and someone read the scriptures about where Jesus calmed the water and where he and Peter walked on the water. Very peaceful and just a beautiful place to be.
Let me ask you, Doctor, let me interrupt you, Doc, real quick, because I have questions I want to ask as you go along on the Sea of Galilee. Are you talking about a sea per se, or are you talking about a large lake? Tell me about the body of water itself.
Well, it's called the Sea of Galilee. To me, it's a big lake. And again, it was much bigger than I had ever pictured. When they talk about rowing across to the other side, I thought, maybe half a mile or three quarters, but it's several miles wide, and I can't remember how many miles long. But the Sea of Galilee is much bigger than I had imagined.
Mm-hmm.
But there in Galilee, there's a church they just recently found, and it's called the Magdala because it's where Mary Magdalene was born.
Oh, my.
And we know that Jesus preached in that synagogue. But we went up on the mountain where the Sermon on the Mount was preached, We went to a city called the City of Dan, where there was a temple where they actually say the golden calf was worshipped in that temple, in that synagogue. You know, there was another synagogue in Capernaum that we went to where we know that Jesus taught. Mount Arabel, after feeding the 5,000, he was up on Mount Arabel, you know, teaching the people. Another one called Mount Precipice, and looks over Nazareth, and it actually looks over the Valley of Jezreel, which is where Armageddon is going to take place.
Oh, my.
And it is a huge, huge, green, beautiful valley. I'd always pictured it as desert and dry, but no, it's a big, beautiful valley with little lakes. A beautiful place, actually.
Well, when you were over there and you were taking this tour and you went to the Sea of Galilee and you went to various places where Jesus had given his sermons, etc., tell me personally the feeling that you had. Did you feel like, wow, I'm standing right where the Bible tells me about all these great events?
Well, I'll just tell you this. We went to the Church of the Nativity, which is where they claim Christ was born. And I will admit I was a little bit disappointed because they just rush you in and out so fast that you can't really, you know, really think about it or contemplate it. So that was a little bit disappointed. But we walked on some of the same streets where Jesus walked. We went into the area where Pontius Pilate washed his hands of Jesus. There's a street they call the Way of the Cross. And this Way of the Cross, people will actually sometimes carry a cross to kind of enact the Savior walking on those streets.
Wow.
But we went to the Wailing Wall. We went to the upper room where the Last Supper took place. We went to the place where Christ was taken kind of down into a dungeon area where he was basically tied up and where he was whipped with the lashes, just really a somber place. But on the Temple Mount, we went to where the steps where Christ would have walked to go into the temple.
Mm-hmm.
And Neil Armstrong, who walked on the moon, said he was more honored to stand on those steps than he was to walk on the moon.
Well, let me ask you this question. How much of what you saw and how much of where you were has been refurbished, or how much of it is really the same way it was 2,000 years ago?
There's actually quite a bit that is pretty much the same, but a lot of it has been redone. That's true. But we saw where place where King Solomon was appointed king. We saw the valley where David killed Goliath, the pool of Siloam where the blind man was healed, the garden tomb, of course, where the Savior was interred in the tomb, and Golgotha where the crucifixion took place, and the Garden of Gethsemane. That was a very peaceful place to be. Felt like it was pretty much like it could have been maybe back then.
Well, let me ask you this question, Ken. Let me ask you this. And it sounds like you've got a little bit of a throat problem this morning. So
I do.
I'll fill in a little bit. But let me ask you, in area proximity, like the Garden of Gethsemane, down to where Pontius Pilate and all of the Roman soldiers took Jesus, etc., what are we talking about as far as distance is concerned? Or is it in one kind of a consolidated area?
Yeah, it wasn't that far apart. It was a little bit hard to judge that because we would get on a bus and go from one place to another, so it was sometimes hard to exactly say, okay, this is only, you know, a quarter of a mile from here or a half a mile. So in that instance, it was a little bit hard to to figure out things like that.
Mm-hmm.
one of the things that we did that was interesting, there's a place called Hezekiah's Tunnel. And this is 3,000 years old. They chiseled this out of bedrock, and it was a tunnel to bring water into the city.
Oh.
And it's 600 yards wide, long, and they started at each end of the mountain, and they actually met in the middle. And we actually were able to walk down through that really narrow tunnel that had water flowing through it.
Oh, my. What was the most impressive thing about the tour and or the various places you went? Now, being that last weekend was Easter, and of course talking about the crucifixion on Good Friday and the resurrection on Easter Sunday, etc. What about Golgotha, the hill of the skull where he was crucified? Tell me about the personality, if you will, of Golgotha.
Okay, that was a very somber place. It has changed what it used to look like because lightning struck that area a number of years ago and kind of changed. So, you know, it's called the Hill of the Skull. And so you can see what it was, but it has changed a little bit. But I would say the Garden Tomb, the Sea of Galilee, and Gethsemane were probably, for me, the most powerful.
And why do you say that? What did it tell you? What kind of emotions did it evoke, and what kind of memories out of the Bible? Explain that a little further.
Well, I would say the things that you read in the Old and the New Testament, now I can picture those places. Before, it was just a... you know, you read about it and you try to imagine what it looked like, you know, Golgotha, the Garden Tomb, and to actually see it just brought it home so much more than when you just read about it.
Does it...
It was a very humbling, you know, to know that this is where Christ was interred in the tomb and then, of course, resurrected. You know, so it was a very somber and kind of a holy place.
What about the tomb itself? Describe the tomb, because in our mind's eye, when we think about Easter and the rolling away of the rock and the tomb and the angel inside, etc., explain that to me a little bit.
Okay, so the entrance into the tomb, you have to duck down. Because this is, keep in mind, this has been chiseled out of the rock. It's not just a normal cave. It's been actually hand chiseled by manual labor. And as you walk in, there's a kind of a small room, and then off to the right hand side is where the body of Christ would have laid when they laid him in there. So it's almost like two rooms. I'd always pictured it just as one room that you would walk into, but it's more like actually two rooms that you would see.
Do you...
go ahead.
No, I was going to ask you, when you were inside that tomb, I can't imagine the feelings that were going through you at that time, but have they, the government and officials of that area, have they enhanced it, or is everything exactly the way it was?
Well, they have made it easier for people to get there. There are, you know, stairs and places around there now where you can actually sit, and there's seats where you can actually sit and, you know, read about the resurrection and the death and the crucifixion. So they've made it actually easier for people to enjoy the feeling of the tomb.
Wow. I mean, being in that tomb in itself, that would have been the whole trip for me, honestly. That just amazes me.
Well, and the Sea of Galilee, you know, that's where a lot of the synagogues are, where Christ preached.
Yeah.
And so, did I mention the Magdala? Did I say that?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah, Magdala is where, synagogue, where the Savior preached, all around the Sea of Galilee. So as we were around the Sea of Galilee, it just, I felt like that was places where he did actually walk and meet the people and perform miracles.
Uh-huh. Did you get a feeling of, oh my goodness, this is far, far greater than I ever anticipated? I mean, what were your feelings of going to all these places and knowing that you're right there where Christ and his disciples had walked and visited thousands of years ago?
Well, the city of Jerusalem was much bigger than I anticipated.
Oh, really?
It was a big city. And the Temple Mount and the Old City was bigger than I anticipated. It was also really a lot hillier than I thought. I did not picture it with these steep hills, not really mountains, but steep hills with rocks. And you could see shepherds actually tending to their sheep in the city of Galilee.
Oh, my.
In some of the pastured areas. So, just like he did thousands of years ago.
What was the number one thing, and I've only got about 4 or 5 minutes left here at the most, but what was the number one thing that you, your wife, and others took away from? I mean, if I were there, I would have left there with a feeling like, wow, what did I just experience?
You know, we went to so many things and saw so much. And again, to me, it was, okay, this is what it looks like. You know, when you read the Old and the New Testaments, now I can picture in my mind where these things took place. I can, I can picture that now. Whereas before, it was, you know, I just pictured Jerusalem as surrounded by desert and sand, but it's not. It's, at least this time of year, it's beautiful fields and crops, and the Jordan River Valley is just a beautiful, fertile area where they grow a lot of crops. But again, to see the Sea of Galilee and the area around Galilee and in Jerusalem, it just means a lot more to me now. And now, as I read the scriptures, again, I'm going to be able to picture these places.
Well, that leads me to my next question, the scriptures and today. I mean, what was your take on how well written the scriptures were and how definitive and how defined and explanatory they were about the area? And then you saw it for your own eyes. They were pretty good, weren't they?
Oh, yeah. The scriptures explain it really well. It's just that, you know yourself, when you read something, you have a picture in your mind.
Right, right.
But then when you actually see it in person, then it opens up a whole new avenue of your thoughts and feelings about, you know, where the miracles took place.
Wow.
The Pool of Bethesda and where healings took place. And again, the Mount. The Temple Mount, just amazing to see it.
Well, I want to quickly, I've only got a short time, and I want to ask you, we're going to move ahead to today. How safe did you and the rest of your entourage feel when you knew that there was an escalation of tension between Palestine and Israel, et cetera, while you were there? I mean, how safe were you?
Okay, we felt really safe, but keep in mind that as we left, that's when Ramadan was taking place. That's when Easter was taking place and the Passover. So you've got three religions. And after we left, there was, I know, a mosque on the Temple Mount. They were having people being dragged away and demonstrators. And we were one of the last planes to get out of Tel Aviv for a while because of government shutdowns. And of course, since then, they've been firing rockets back and forth. So I feel we were safe when we were there, but I'm glad we got out when we did.
How volatile is that region, Ken, from the people that you had a chance to visit with or the knowledge that you have now? I mean, is it really unstable over there?
Well, all around Israel, they have a fence and they have a road, and they monitor that road, and inside that road, they have landmines in a no man's land. So the Israelis, they protect it really well. And the Palestinians, keep in mind, they have an area within Jerusalem. So the Palestinians and the Israelis, it's kind of a tenuous situation.
Mm.
Before you go, you see military people with carrying their guns and all their gear.
Yeah. All I can say is that I hope you feel better next week when you come to my home, because I want to elaborate on this a little bit more. A trip that I'm just so jealous that I have not gone to that area of the world, and I just really respect you for giving us a really first-class dissertation on it. Dr. History, God bless you, and I hope you feel better next week.
I will be there.
All right, my friend. Take care of yourself.
You have a good day.
Thank you very much.